Serving veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler. Brought to you by this local station and its sponsors. And presented everywhere on the air and online by Paul Everett's RV Country. With 8 locations in 5 western states.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our visit today with 92-year-old Paul Davis of South Bend, Indiana. I want to get to the things that he's up to here in South Bend in the 21st century, but I don't want to leave anything out from World War II and this Battle of the Bulge survivors' experiences in Europe. Is there anything else that we haven't covered that you think people ought to know about what you were doing over there?
Well, I hope they never experience. I'm sure happy it turned out the way it did.
Yeah.
And fortunate I came back with 10 fingers and 10 toes and I could see and hear.
Yeah, because I'm sure you were aware of plenty who couldn't.
Yep.
Have you ever thought about the time you almost drove right into the river or the time that you heard and saw and smelt the enemy artillery shells coming in and realized that had that gone a little differently, you never would have come back to marry Beverly? You wouldn't have your 3 kids and your grandkids and great-grandkids?
Right. I'd be very fortunate.
What's your explanation for that?
I just do what the governor tells me to.
So apparently he tells you to be the head usher and assistant minister at your church, Holy Trinity Lutheran Church here in South Bend, where you're the oldest member by age and by time of attendance?
I am now because I was baptized, confirmed, married. My kids were all married at that church.
And twice a week you go to Memorial Hospital.
Right.
And tell me what you do there.
I push wheelchairs, basically.
For how long?
4-hour shifts. That's what the volunteers work.
And who are you pushing in wheelchairs?
People that are coming in for operations or when they're ready to go home, we go up to the room and pick them up and take them down to their car, see if they get in their car.
So they could be 5 years old or 95?
Right.
Or anywhere in between?
Right.
You talk to them much or you just push them?
Oh, yeah. I talk to them. Try and get their mind off of everything, that they're going to be all right.
They ever ask you how old you are?
Yes. I've had several say, stop. And I said, what for? He said, I should be pushing you. I really enjoy it. There's a lot of nice people there at the hospital.
Well, and speaking of pushing wheelchairs, you had the opportunity last year to go on an honor flight from Fort Wayne here in Indiana to Washington, D.C. to see the World War II Memorial. And typically, every World War II veteran who goes on one of those honor flights has a guardian who's supposed to be pushing that veteran around in a wheelchair, making sure he doesn't overexert himself.
Right.
You said no way, no how?
No.
Never sat in a wheelchair?
No. That's why I say I'm glad I'm on the back side instead of the front side.
What did that experience mean to you? What did you see and what stuck with you?
I'm just thankful that I got through everything.
When you got to that World War II memorial and you went with your son-in-law, who was a Vietnam veteran.
Right.
Did you learn some things about him that you didn't know?
Yes, and he found 3 names of his buddies that lost their life in Vietnam on the wall.
Was that emotional for you to look at that wall?
Yes. We were lucky. We found one of the guides there and explained to us how the names were not alphabetical or anything.
Right.
They were in numerical order the way they died.
Chronologically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's how we found them 3 names.
And you also saw the Korean War Memorial, which is moving and haunting in its own right.
Yes.
And the National World War II Memorial, which wasn't built until well after the other two, not till 2004.
Right.
And it took you guys, it took $190 million of private donations, mostly from World War II veterans themselves, to build it.
Yep.
But most of you wouldn't get to see it if not for honor flight. That's the whole point.
Yes.
So you get there, and of course you had to find the pillar with Indiana on it.
Right.
I've seen that picture of you. And what about when you looked at all those gold stars, and it says, here we mark the price of freedom?
It's hard to really realize how many of them lost their lives.
406,000.
Right.
You knew some of those guys.
Right.
What kind of thoughts went through your mind as you looked at that?
Well, I just feel very thankful I wasn't on that wall.
I don't think you're alone in that. I think your 3 daughters are pretty thankful for that, too. So then you had to come back home to Indiana, and the surprises weren't done?
No.
What happened on the plane?
Well, we were all dead tired, and we figured we could sleep. And then they had the mail call. We were just ready to doze off when they rang the bells and stuff. How they kept it a secret from us is more than I can figure out. because I had letters from all my daughters and a lot of my friends and stuff. I had 66 pieces of mail all together, and I opened the last one as we were landing in Fort Wayne. I was surprised. We got a lot of them from school children, and the one letter I had, it was two pages, and it was from a little girl. She was in the sixth grade, I believe, and twice in the letter she mentioned that she hoped she would hear from the veteran who got the letter. So I didn't know how I could get in touch with her or anything, so I called on her flight there in Fort Wayne and explained to them the situation, and so they said they would look at it and get back to me. Well, when they get back to me, what I had to do was I wrote the letter and I sent it to the principal of the school, and they gave it to the girl. So I just hoped that she got my letter.
I'm sure she did, and I'm sure it meant a lot to her. And what did that mean to you, to get all these letters from your family, friends, and even complete strangers who apparently thought that you did something significant?
Right. Well, it really changed my outlook on life.
How so?
Well, when my buddy asked me to go on it, I said, no, I'm not interested. I just soon forget them 3 years. But then after I got home, started thinking about it, I thought, well, I probably ought to go on it. And it did change my outlook. And I think my daughters will testify that they never heard me mention these things. I'm sure happy I went now. And any veteran I talk to, I tell them they ought to go.
Well, there's something that I'm sure you heard a lot on that trip from start to finish. I want to echo that and say thank you for serving our country and thank you for telling us a few of your stories. Otherwise, we wouldn't know. You know, we wouldn't know what happened.
Well, it was my pleasure and honor to serve. I'm glad I did it.
And what do you think people today need to know about what you guys did and why you did it?
Now I'm glad to tell them what I went through and stuff. Before, I didn't. I just soon forget it.
Yeah. Was it just the fact that you, by sharing that trip with all these other veterans, you realized that other people went through it too?
Right. On our flight, there was 63 of us that were World War II vets, and there were 3 Vietnam vets. The ones that have priority are the ones, a lot of them have terminal diseases and stuff. They get priority. I think there was 2 that had signed up that didn't make trip.
They didn't live long enough to go?
Right.
Wow.
After I went on that honor flight, I'm willing to share it with people now where I wasn't before.
I think that's one of the most important purposes to honor flight, is exactly that. I don't want to get too carried away here, but what if on your 100th birthday in a few years, what if one of those great-grandkids says, tell me what happened in World War II? Why did you have to go over there? What was it all about? How do you explain that to them?
Well, it'd be hard, that's for sure, unless they've had some basic information in school on the wars and stuff.
Well, here's your chance.
But
tell us now, how would you explain it? Why was it so important for you guys to do what you did?
Well, just have to explain to them what them people went through over there, why we liberated them. And I don't care how long I live, just as long as I can take care of myself. I don't want to be an invalid. I've seen so much in the nursing homes and stuff, I hope I never have to go to one.
Well, as long as you're ziplining in Hawaii, I think you're safe. And is it true that you're making plans to do that again?
Well, kind of, yes.
How old were you when you did it the last time?
It was 2 years ago.
You were 90?
Yes.
At the time, that was the record?
Right.
But somebody beat you out?
Yes.
How old was he?
92.
So you got to wait till your 93rd birthday to go?
Yes.
And I'm not trying to kid around about it. Is that a serious thing? Do you really plan on going back there to break the record again?
I'd love to if I can.
And we didn't even touch on everything you did after the war. You showed me some of the gears that you still have from some very primitive computers.
Yes.
Now we can carry them around in our phone and they do in our pocket and they do everything. But back then, probably would have filled this room, huh?
Right. But they were bigger than the organ back then, the computer.
Yeah. And how long have you been playing the organ?
I started 5 years ago. And we get together and play at a nursing home now.
How often do you do that?
Twice a month. First Tuesday of the month, we play at Memory Care at the Hearth. That's where my brother was at. And then on the fourth Tuesday, we play in assisted living. And it's a small organ, but they move it back and forth for us.
What do you play? What kind of songs?
Play just about anything. I try.
Well, and a lot of people that are playing instruments at your age are doing it because they've always done it. They grew up playing an instrument. They can't give it up. What made you pick up the organ, of all things, one of the more complicated instruments to learn at age 87?
Well, we had a big Hammond that my wife played, and I had a hard time adjusting. And so one night I got up and decided I'd try and play it, and I just couldn't get anything. So then I seen this ad. They had a quick start, they call it, and had just a small keyboard, 4 octaves. The left one was for the chords, and the 3 right ones were for melody. My teacher let me use it, so I had it sitting here for 10 weeks. I really enjoyed it, and it sounded pretty decent. Then I would go over on that Hammond, and I just couldn't do anything. So, and there was a church that wanted that Hammond. So it went from my house to church, and I got my first Lowry. This is the 4th one that I've had.
Looks like the sheet music up there above the keys has turned to God Bless America.
Right.
That might be the perfect melody to have you play for us here in a moment. But I've just got to ask, and I don't want to put the words in your mouth, but it seems to me that you pick this up and you continue to do it as you go and you play at these different venues to minister to people, that this is a tribute or a way for you to honor your late wife?
Yes. I have a plaque right on it for her. I play at church. They have a little one that I play mostly after we're having coffee or something. But I have played the big one, and then I played it last week for the prelude, and I played in the garden. The organist is very good to me, and she set it all up and stuff for me, so I didn't do nothing but play it.
Well, is there anything else that I haven't asked you about that you think we ought to know?
No, I've got my 3 girls, and I've been very happy that they all turned out to be good girls, never give us any problems. And we had 63 wonderful years.
Yeah, you and Beverly. Is there something you'd say you're most proud of?
No, not necessarily. I'm fortunate I can do what I do today. I was semi-retired for 3 months. Found out I had cancer, but I beat it. It's been 27 years.
Wow.
I had no chemo, no radiation. And I had a rough time for 30 days afterwards, but I beat it.
I don't want to assume, so I guess I got to ask. Are you the oldest wheelchair pusher at the hospital?
Yes.
How long do you plan on continuing that?
As long as I can. It's because I was used to being on my feet for 9.5 hours a day when I worked on a cement floor, and it's good exercise for my legs. And if I don't exercise them, then I get cramps.
Are you a big Notre Dame football fan?
Pretty much.
So you've been in this city for 92 years.
Yes.
Plenty of Heisman Trophy winners in that span.
Yes.
But who would you say is the greatest Fighting Irish football player of all time?
I think Johnny Lujack was my favorite. In my younger years, I worked out at Notre Dame ushering, and I ushered for basketball and football. Funny part about that is the fellow that was head of all the ushers was a past master from our lodge. So he had a lot of from the lodge that were ushers. And we had a deal with Notre Dame that we would not have one of our reunions on the weekend that there was a home football game. Because if we had one of our reunions, they didn't have enough ushers.
So you and Touchdown Jesus have spent a lot of time together.
Yes.
Well, I'm so thankful that we had this time together, and I wasn't kidding about the organ. I'm going to have Mr. Davis close out our show by playing that hymn that his song sheet was open to, God Bless America, on that organ with a prominent plaque that makes it very clear he plays in honor of his late wife, Beverly. You heard him talk pretty emotionally about his honor flight experience, and as you gather with your family this holiday season, I want to remind you again that Honor Flight is active wherever you're listening today. The World War II veteran in your life can go visit that National World War II Memorial for free. Go to honorflight.org to find the hub nearest you. And if you're looking for a recipient for some year-end giving, a donation of any amount to Honor Flight is going to allow more veterans to enjoy what Mr. Davis described as a life-changing journey. I have a link to the Honor Flight Network up for you at hometownheroesradio.com, where you'll also find photos of Mr. Davis then and now. And as I thank you for listening today, I want to ask a favor. As you gather with your family this Christmas, take a few moments to consider those men and women who, like Mr. Davis was during the Battle of the Bulge, are marking the holiday in dangerous places all over the globe. They're doing at Christmas what they do every day, putting their lives on the line for our sake. With 92-year-old Paul Davis and his organ taking us out with God Bless America, I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.